Okay, welcome to the Reinventing the Tattoo Network. We are going live as we speak, so we're in the process of testing the connections, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Reinventing Network and what's coming up as we're doing all of that testing. So please, if this is working for you, let us know in the chat rooms where you're beaming in from. You might even get some tickets to an amazing event because we're doing a whole bunch of events that make these streams go. So yeah, leave your comments, get some tickets. Okay, let me, like I said, this is the 30, this is a, thank you for tuning in. It's April 9th, the day after the eclipse. That was out of control, unbelievable. If you didn't get to experience it, it is, in my humble opinion, or not so humble opinion, worth traveling to get to the totality whenever you can, wherever. Anyways, this is the 9th. This is the Tattoo Weekly, a show about tattoo news, events, and interviews with awesome artists. And we have a great one coming up today. He's beaming in from New Zealand, Andrew Swarbrick. Got it right. I'm Gabe Ripley and Fawn Baker. We are your hosts for this show. And like I said, let us know if this is working for you in the comments. I see some numbers on here. And if you do pop up in the chat, then we could show you here. Hey, look at that. Creature Cave is on. Boom. So yeah, let us know where you're beaming in from, and we'll get to the show quickly here. This will be the spot where, when we edit it, we could start. Give me a second.
We're both
Okay.
taking sips, wetting our
Big
whistles.
breath. Whew. Okay, welcome to Guy Ageson's Reinventing the Tattoo Network, where tattoo artists, apprentices, collectors, and the curious are all encouraged to join into these live streams, to catch up with us at various live events around the world, to share with each other, to inspire each other, and ultimately create better art and tattoos together. We're beaming out about 4 or 5 days a week, and with your help, I've created a network of tattoo shows that we all want to see. So please leave reviews and whatnot, and you can find us. I don't know where you're beaming in from, but you can find us in any of these other fine places. Either of the app stores, either the Apple or the Google App Store, search for Reinventing, give it a download. YouTube.com, the famous YouTubes, whether you have it on your phone or your computer or your TV, do a search for Reinventing the Tattoo channel. Roku, if you have the Roku, we have 12 to 15 channels going at any given time on the Reinventing the Tattoo Roku channel. And lastly, but not leastly, if you love audio, although we do a lot of video-y stuff on here, it's a tattoo podcast after all, but we are in all the major audio podcast directories, Apple, Spotify. I think maybe I just got on Audible for the books. I finally gave up. Anyways, just search for Reinventing the Tattoo and you will find it everywhere. No matter where you're watching live or on demand, the latest and greatest info could always be found at reinventingthetattoo.com. There's a free newsletter there, so you don't need to purchase anything to get a lot of great information. There's the full schedule of all these live streams, and of course, a lot of professional development courses for tattooers who want to better themselves. If you do sign up, there is one of the links on the Reinventing the Tattoo page at the very bottom there. You can get advice from Guy Aitchison about your unique goals. So you click, a couple of the goals that you're interested in. And then Guy, we have a sequence set up and he'll send over, some videos and, some chapters or whatever. And then, yeah. Okay. So I need to plug the past show. So the last Tattoo Weekly, you should look in the archives. We interviewed Tony Urbanek and a bunch of his friends, for the tattoo convention. Show. Chris Thomas and Jesse Smith were the other two guests. Did I get Chris's
Chris
last
Taylor.
name right? Chris Taylor. Sorry, I'm kind of
Chris Taylor.
dyslexic, so the fact that I got a five or six letter T, almost there. Sorry about that. Anyways, you should definitely catch his the conventions and catch the show. And then, yeah, let's see here. Support for our sponsors. We like to show a little bit of support for our sponsors and partners to make the show possible. WorldTattooEvents.com for all of your tattoo convention information. TattooNow.com, that's my computer stuff if you're looking for like websites or even more importantly, and well, I do like fractional CTO and right, so I could be not only your web guy but your digital businessy guy, I guess. Anyways. TattooNow.com or longevity.tattoonow.com. Positive reviews on the channels, please. It helps us get the word out. Constructive criticisms or any sort of ideas if you want to host an event. Management at reinventingthetattoo.com. Okay, so I'm going to take a deep breath. Fawn, how goes it?
It goes wonderfully. You know, Gabe, I was just wondering as you were doing the intro, when you talk about the computer geek stuff that you do. Do you ever really like go in further detail when you're on air to like talk about how like some of your systems are like the equivalent to a secretary without even hardly doing anything?
Almost never. No, I'm one you of should, the worst. I'm not the salesperson part of the team, and I'm a
yeah. I just feel like being behind the scenes, I always get to hear about different ideas that you're working on and different things like that. And it took my manager and I several months, and like our system's constantly evolving, but like our system is incredibly digital, and she's got a lot of systems in place and stuff like that, where like with what you do, it would take like a 20-minute phone call every week to make sure that your business is managed and all the stress is gone. Like my manager and I have a half hour talk maybe once a month. I mean, other than just friendly conversation. So I feel like, sorry to like immediately go off on a tangent, but this is where my brain went. But I think you need to do more to explain what the digital stuff you're doing is, because it's more than just like ads and things like that. It's it's like all of these systems that automatically manage your business and manage your clients, and it does all the correspondence and everything for you. So you don't even have to like physically text to check in with somebody. You don't have to physically write the email. Your programming does it for you.
You know, a fair amount of our clients have replaced, you know, their support team. Even better cases are when the support team use the tools to be even more effective.
Yeah, one person can do the job of six with the appropriate tools. And
it's pretty nuts.
I think a lot of people don't realize how many things to make a tattooer's life easier that you have actually come up with and implemented. So I think you should start talking about that more.
I hope so. But, you know, I've done nothing but that for 25 years. Isn't that crazy? Like, just use computers and business to help tattooers. You know, the sales process is not something someone should learn from me. I take my sales process kind of from how I got into tattooing, which is like, you know, I'll do my thing, and there's enough clients. You want some, you'll know how to find me.
Yeah.
Which is not a great thing to do when there's like a million different, you know, business technologies and coaches out there. Although it's kind of funny. I did have somebody go through one of the, you know, they got the ad, you know, on the Instagrams, and it was like, we'll get you clients, you need clients. And the guy said, he's like, I went through the whole pitch. They sold me. And then at the end of the day, I was like, wait a minute, why would I get this from them when I could get it from Gabe and Tattoo Now, who's like been around forever and do all the education stuff. And,
yep.
I was like, wow, that's amazing. Like, those guys actually did the hard sell for me. Like literally somebody got through all the way through, like, I want to purchase it, but instead of anyways, every Wednesday we do a round table. And so to your point, it's like, you know, we spend an hour at least each week covering different aspects of business and technology. And there's a big overlap where we're, you know, so this week, for instance, we're talking about our AI assistants. Mm-hmm. And there's probably like three or four different ways to hook into the various different, you know, language models, the GPTs and the others, and GPT assistants. And I think it's been about 6 months. So we have a couple of clients that actually actively have, you know, artificially intelligent assistants. So somebody, you know, somebody Instagrams in, and then, you know, their virtual persona, you know, answers questions back and either sends them to the consultation form. You know, you could hook it up to a consultation calendar.
Yep.
It's crazy. And but so, yeah, you know, I'll, you know, maybe I should do like another free seminar. I did one with Mark not too long ago up in Needlejig. Mm-hmm. But obviously, I love talking. Well, you know, thank you very much for egging me on. We will be doing more computer.
Yeah, I'm going to egg you on, because I feel like a lot of tattooers need to know that, like, you can set aside having like an entire day to do your books and correspondence every week, or you can set aside 20 minutes to maintain these automated services.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, like I said, my goal is to partner with awesome support people so that they can do way better. But that said, if you're like slacking and you're not like answering the phone politely or getting back to people in a timely manner, there is a friendly computer that will answer the phone. And
send somebody. Do you want to segue from this into the Red Tree event coming up?
No. So we have a Red Tree event coming up, but I'll do that as an ad in between our first segment, which we can go into, and our interview with Andrew. And we also have a bunch of Bob Tyrell tattoos to show off. He sent in a whole mess of photos, so I'm going to be putting them up on the website. But in the meantime, we can show them off after. But no, let's to your point. Let's move into our first topic. You have one or two that you might pop up
so
here.
So let me pull those up here. Section. I'm horrible at screen sharing, so bear with me. Let me pull these up.
No problems.
So there are a couple of things. One of the things that I do, like when I spend way too much time on Instagram. So one of the things that I do when I come across, you know, things that might be helpful and useful is you got it?
I can get it. Yeah.
Okay. Cause I just pulled it up on my,
oh no, you do it. You do it.
Let's see. Where's my screen share? Screen. There it is. There's the button. It's okay. I got to get good at this stuff.
We do have more people watching now than when we started. So we're pulling up a great Instagram here.
So on this post, I really like that he is, I'm zoomed in really, really close. But I like the way he's actually going through and defining the different styles of shading. Granted, this is on artificial skin, so it you can kind of see it a little bit differently than you will on real skin. But I love the way that, you know, he's talking about pendulum shading here, which is a very soft, seamless kind of way to shade, but it's a little bit slower. And another part of the video, here we go. He's doing stipple shading, which is totally different from the actual stippling that he's doing in another little cell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are great. When you sent this over, it was, you know, as somebody, I've never tattooed, but I've taken a million seminars, and to see all of these, like, just right next to each other with these definitions, I haven't seen anything this clear before. You know, I'm sure it exists, but this is great.
Yep, and this would be, like, actual dot work or stippling, like I would call it. But it's totally a different application than, like, the whip stippling that you'll see again. We've looped, but I think that this video was really, really cool, and I think it was HOC something that posted it. It's been shared with me a few times.
Now, what do you think? Like, you know,
HOC
back in the day, you know, something like this would never fly, right? Like, because this is literally like a close up of how the actual, you know, shading looks and its effect. And obviously, it's not on skin, and there's a million types of skin, and there's no responsibility of the client when you're just working like this. But this is, you know.
I just love that it's a great example of like how these different techniques actually look when you're like almost at a microscopic level, mm-hmm. viewing the actual like dots and how they interact with one another. But I just think this video is really, really a good example. And again, this is HOC_tattoo. Like I said, this has been shared with me a few different times, but as a tattooer, it's really cool to see this close up because, you know, there are certain things that we do, like on hands, for instance. It's really hard to shade and get smooth transitions on a hand using mags. But if you're taking the time to stipple, to softly stipple with small needles, you can get some of these same effects and they're going to hold and they're going to be consistent. But I just like this. This is kind of like a good vocabulary lesson. Like if you are an apprentice or a younger tattooer, newer to the industry, this is going to kind of help when you watch any other tutorials. This will kind of help you see when they say scumbling, this is what they're talking about. When they're talking about pulling whips, this is what they're talking about. So I thought this was pretty cool. Let me stop this. Another video I want to show you.
In the meantime, Hell City's coming up, hellcity.com. Columbus, Ohio.
What are the dates? 17th, 19th?
Of?
May.
May 17th to the 19th. All the latest info, hellcity.com. Okay.
Okay. So this one, let me start my screen share back up. So this video is a conversation that I have all the time with people. And I think people think I'm crazy when I start talking about like teeny tiny micro, like the micro mechanics of tattooing. Mm-hmm. So we talk about different machines quite often and what machine is intended for what, and you know, who's using what tool for where. And there are a lot of, machine manufacturers that are coming out with an adjustable stroke machines. And I think a lot of the actual inverse misconception of how these tools are supposed to be used. So this reel that I'm about to show you, and a few different companies have shared it. I'm not sure who actually made this originally, but it's a really good demonstration of a 3.5 millimeter stroke versus a 5 millimeter stroke and how it's actually going to work into the skin. So awesome. One of the things that I always say is that the longer the stroke, the less ink is actually deposited with each penetration of the needle. What a lot of people do is they'll get these longer stroke needles and they'll just run the needle deeper into the skin. And that's why, like, it might look good the day of your session, but you see it 2 weeks later and all of your lines are blown out and not as clean as the day you put them in. It's because you're using a stroke that's too long and you're using it inappropriately. In my opinion, 90% of tattooers should be using a 3.5 millimeter stroke or maybe a 4. Anything shorter than that is going to be for a very small niche group of tattooers. And anything with a longer stroke than that is going to be for another small niche group of tattooers. So with that little bit of an explanation, I want to go ahead and start this screen share so you guys can see what I'm talking about. So here on the upper part, I'm going to show you actually, like, this would be called the cam. And the cam is the part of the machine that basically attaches to the motor so that the motor can then move the needle in whatever way. So roughly the cam is the part that converts the motion from the motor to the motion of whatever device is pushing the needle. So here we can see right in the very middle, this piece is the same. Like, we're in the same spot on both mm-hmm. machines. Do you see that?
Yep.
So on the 3 millimeter stroke, this length, the length that this actually travels is 3 millimeters. But over here, it's 4.5 millimeters. So you can see that this whole piece is actually moving up and down further, even though the middle stays exactly the same. Does that make mm-hmm. sense so far on, like, yep. the tiny micro mechanics? So basically what that means is that on this stroke, the needle is going to spend more time in the skin per revolution. And on this stroke, it's going to spend less time in the skin per revolution. Now let me scroll down here so I can show you what it's actually doing in the tip of our machine. So you can see that the needles are moving at the same speed, but one moves a smaller distance here, and this one moves a larger distance. But that doesn't mean that you should throw that whole large distance into the skin. You should still be throwing the same depth into the skin. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you can see how with each time that this goes into the skin, it's going to push more pigment with the needle. And then also immediately after, on the next stroke, there's this suction action that happens. It actually pulls more ink into the hole that's just been made. So with this 3 or 3.5 millimeter stroke, you're going to get like the optimal amount of ink insertion if you're going for black work or if you're going for full color saturation. And I even feel like when you're working with black and gray, you have the most control with this needle. Now, if you're doing like fine line work and you want to put minimal amounts of ink into the skin with every stroke, this is the one that's going to be good for you because it's only in the skin for a portion of the time, which means it's only pushing a small amount of ink. And then on that next stroke where there's that moment where ink is being pulled in from the suction of the next needle pass, there's going to be less ink being pulled into that opening. So I feel like it's a very complicated thing to try to explain, but with this, like I said, this has been shared by a few different companies. So I'm not sure who actually shared the original animation. But I think this is just a wonderful example. So if you're using, in this one, it's a 4.5 millimeter stroke. But if we were using a 5 millimeter stroke, that brings us all the way up to this line. So that means you're inserting even less ink. So what that means is if you are trying to color something in full saturation or you're trying to do black work, it means that you're going to have to bring that needle and that machine over the skin that many more times. So you're actually not only are you potentially going too deep and blowing everything out on a microscopic level, but you actually have to do more passes over those same skin cells to get the same saturation. So when you're using a tool that's not efficient for the style of tattooing that you're doing, you're actually causing extra trauma, which means a longer heal, more scabbing, more touch-ups, less profit. Because if you touch something up that didn't heal right because of your error, that's money out of your pocket. So by using the wrong tool with the wrong stroke, you're actually costing yourself money. So like I said, for like 90% of tattooers out there, we should be using a 3.5 unless you're doing something highly, highly specialized. Otherwise you're traumatizing the skin too much.
So, oh, sorry.
It's okay. Bouncing the next top of me. It's okay.
Speaking of technical tattooing, on top of business, but no, that's awesome. I love those explanations of the particular types of mechanics. Now, just one question that I would have, is there any difference in the level of trauma
that you should Yeah, like I said, like one level of trauma could be because you have more throw, you can potentially throw a lot deeper into the skin, but throwing deeper doesn't make a tattoo better and it doesn't make it faster. It actually just kind of beats the skin up more. You're pushing ink into the subcutaneous fatty layers under the skin, which is where you get that ink travel and blowout that I keep mentioning. And then also because it takes more passes to achieve full saturation, then there's additional trauma because there's more needle pokes. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To achieve what you're looking for. Whereas if you're doing very soft black and gray and you're building very gradually and you've kind of mastered the act of doing things slowly over time without beating the skin up too much, then maybe it's time to go up to a 4 millimeter or a 5 millimeter stroke. But for most people, 3.5 is going to be your stroke length. I know a lot of people like to line with a 4 millimeter stroke and then they go back in and they do their shading with a 3.5. If I were to say for the average tattooer, that's what the average tattooer should be doing. Unless, like I said, unless you have been doing this long enough that you're highly specialized, you're in tune with the skin, you're in tune with the heel. And then on top of that, a lot of people just run their coil machines or their rotary machines way too fast. So if you combine using the wrong stroke with the wrong machine running it way too fast, then you have all this excess trauma that doesn't need to happen.
One thing, having conversations with and watching, thousands and thousands of tattooers at this point, it really does amaze me, like how many different ways to do it there are. Like there's so many variables mm-hmm. in all of the mechanics, and then and the clients are all different and the skins are all a little different. The personalities are all different. There's just so many moving parts. It's amazing that, people can make such great effects. I don't know. It's almost magic.
It is magic. It is magic. But it's like when you use the right wand, the spells just come out a little smoother. You
know, the line between magic and science sometimes, I mean, I guess those are two of my loves. So I suppose. Awesome. Well, that was great. It is definitely, I'm looking at my timer though. My thing's blinking. We don't have our bumper music yet.
You want me to show off this one last slide I had pulled up for us?
Yeah, perfect.
All right. Let me pull it up here. Where are you, Lyle?
Oh, it's always amazing that time of year to see the Red Sox posts. And
all right, this is, where's my gold?
This is the bit
chair.
Of wisdom from the past.
Yeah. Okay. So, to be a tattooist, you have to have a conscience. You cannot just put shit on people. And I feel like that's kind of, this is the late, great Lyle Tuttle. But I think that's one of those things that like having pride in your work and having pride that you're putting something worthwhile on people is incredibly important. You know, this is what made the classic tattooers that we look up to. This is what made them have the following that they have, is actually caring and putting quality work on people. So I think that's why it's important to even share what is the right tool to use, what's the right way to use it, just because our clients deserve the best from us.
Yeah, you know, it's, I mean, although, you know, it is also amazing for me to see what, like how different people would define different parts of that,
mm-hmm.
right? You can't put shit on people. But then like sometimes, and obviously, you know, to do the best quality tattooing that's going to really change people's lives, you know, for the better. It's absolutely not about, you know, putting shit on people. But like, I guess like, does that, you know, so the drunken, you know, military tattoo before they go to war, right? Like some, that is a shit tattoo to some people, right? Like, but it's not a shit tattoo to the person that's going to mm-hmm. war, right? you know, or the, or,
but
or
you've seen the people, you've been at the gas station. We're in the industry and we're surrounded by phenomenal artists all the time. And we're surrounded by good quality work all the time. But what happens when we walk into the gas station and you see the guy that's got the crooked cursive on his knuckles and like the weird stuff here and here and like nothing really makes sense. I think that's what Lyle's talking about is it makes a difference what you put on people, you know, what we do can really affect the way people are perceived by others. So having pride and making it worthwhile and making it something that that person can be proud of and wear with confidence, I think that's
absolutely that's
the ethics of tattooing right there.
Yeah, you know, the irony of that story that you just said about the gas station person too, right? Like, so probably about 5 or 6 years into getting tattooed, I was I wanted to get a very visible tattoo, a hand tattoo, and I was but I couldn't, like, I'm not going to get my hand tattooed. Like, you know, that's so against the norms. You know, I don't think I had my neck done at that point. I might have, but I might not have. I don't really quite. It was right around that same time period. And I guess I must have gotten my neck first. No, because I was driving the motorcycle. I was in Florida. And there was a woman at a gas station who had probably some jacked up, fucked up shit on her hands. Right. And I was like, why could she get her hand tattooed, right? I'm traveling the world as a computer programmer for Honda and for the Smurfs and for Lucky Luke. And a woman who works at a gas station, no offense to anybody that chooses to or has to work at a gas station, you know, but why could they get a tattoo, but I couldn't? And then I was like, wait a minute, maybe I could, right? So my decision to actually get my hands tattooed in part stem from some of that jacked up tattooing that happens. Now, again, like, you know, I'm not advocating for scratchers do jacked up shit on, you know, Florida trash, right? Like, you know, although they should, right? Again, but like, that's part of the enabling. Maybe they should. I don't know. I guess that's what I'm saying is, like, sometimes the judgment calls, I guess, is sometimes, like, again, I'm a very judgmental person. So I'm just playing devil's advocate, maybe because that's part of my nature too. But like, you know, I guess I've also seen tattooers, you know, pontificate to clients about how they shouldn't get a visible tattoo or this or that. And I'm like, oh, come on. The client in this case is like is a scientist. And you're like 22 years old and barely have your shit together, right? Like, and you're like trying to give life advice to a, you know, to an older. So I don't know. Like I said, part of it, what I love is absolutely 1,000%. Do I like love to dwell on the tattooer as shamanic experience, you know, absolutely upper crusty, snooty as you could probably be, you know, about tattooing, absolutely. But I always want to make sure that I always try not to without encouraging shitty tattoos. I don't want to discount them. I guess is all I'm saying. I don't know. Maybe that's I don't know. For the sake of argument.
For the sake of argument, if you want to get tattooed, get tattooed.
Let us know in the chat room. No, what was the other one? You know, sometimes I'm like, I don't necessarily have to have an opinion about things. And before we go, like, you know, there was a bunch of, you know, people chattering about, you know, what do you feel about somebody going under anesthetic to get tattooed? And again, we have to move on to the next segment. So maybe, you know, I don't want to talk about it that much. But mostly I'm like, people do it.
We can have the anesthesia conversation next week if you want, Gabe.
I don't mind.
Strong feelings about it.
Oh, if you have strong feelings, I'm way down because for me, I have strong feelings
about it. Mind awesome. You, I've used like numbing creams and all kinds of stuff for my back. I've put my body through a lot of things, but I definitely have some strong feelings on that topic. I would love to jump down that rabbit hole with you.
Oh, well, we have to. And in the meantime, people could let us know in the comments what they feel about it. But
Well,
like I said, just because I'm questioning about whether I should have an opinion about everything or where or how, I do have an opinion about everything, where and how. So, we'll catch up about that next week. So let me transition over. We're going to have our interview with Andrew coming up right after a short break where I talk about this Red Tree, the Reinventing Live Tattooerpreneur Conference that we're having at Red Tree. You'll see in the ticker below, there is the information on how to get there. I'm going to do a screen share real quick. So we have live June 23rd to the 25th at Red Tree Tattoo in Columbus, Ohio. Rember from Dark Age and Reinventing the Tattoo are presenting the Tattooerpreneur Conference, which is an event focused on business, art, and tattooing. Each morning, we're doing something to do with business. So you'll see here the first seminars, Rember's, the psychology behind tattoo studio management. Remember's got two studios that both, I believe, have over 20 tattooers, and they are all slamming. And yeah, he's got a great head on his shoulders about it. Some of his interviews in the past talk about it, but this is a chance for you to get a brain dump straight from him about how he manages his studios. If you're looking to get more tattoo clients, in this 1 hour, I am going to overload your brain with all of the things that you could possibly do. You just need to pick two or three, and then you won't be complaining online about how you're not busy, I swear. And then we have art classes in the afternoon. So we've got Procreate with Jason Leeser. We've got Elements with Haley Adams. And then each night we're doing some sort of paint night, right? So the first night will be an art night for the attendees. Then the second night we're doing reinventings, live exercises, and Mindset Mondays with the Fireside Tattoo Crew. And then Sunday, Monday, on Tuesday night is the full-on Red Tree Paint Night. In any event, if you go to reinventingthetattoo.com/live, there's the full schedule here. And it's awesome. The last day is tattooing, and Bob Tyrell's coming. He just confirmed. And the lineup's great. So I highly suggest, if you are a tattoo shop owner or if you're a tattooer and that's interested in bettering your business, it's a three-day ticket, conference style. And yeah, check it out. Reinventingthetattoo.com/live. You'll see down below there is the link. And then, without much more further ado, I know that Andrew likes to get up bright and early in the morning to tackle the day. This is a recorded interview, but it'll look like it's live. So anything to say about it before we turn it loose, Fawn?
Nope. I feel like now we've got some more juice to talk about next week. So
awesome.
Everybody Fantastic. Take care. See Cheers. You next Tuesday.
Okay, here we go. This is Andrew Swarbrick. Andrew Swarbrick. I keep thinking he's a Star Wars character with a different name, but he's not. Why is he not showing up here? I'm clicking on
there
the
he is.
Ah, fantastic.
I like the he likes to get up early in the morning. I think likes is a strong statement.
Nice.
But I do get up early in the morning. Likes is a whole nother thing.
Nice. Well, I just kind of presume that when everybody, I love getting up early in the morning, right? But I can't sleep like all the regular patterns. But so how are you? So it's been I think about a year and a half.
Yeah,
since our last
interview. Yeah, been about a year. Yeah.
So you want to let us know? Well, first. Again, people, I think you have a bit of a backstory in that interview, but shorten it up a little bit. Let us know in a nutshell what you've been up to that year, and then we could talk about the future.
Yeah, I think this year in October is 20 years I've been tattooing, so I'm officially one of the old guard by then, I think, so it's super weird. Not quite enough, a couple of dirty grays and the ginger beard there. But tattooing for 20 years, started in Christchurch, New Zealand, still here. I have a private studio now, but I've traveled the world, come over to the States quite a few times. I used to be quite a regular up at the the Northern Ink Exposure, the Nick's show in Toronto every year. That was a pilgrimage I'd make every year, up until probably COVID times, I think. And then I've been painting for a long time. I came and did a 3-day workshop at Jeff Gogre's studio in Oregon. Mm-hmm. And that was 10 years ago now. And yeah, I've just been attacking the oil painting since then. And just had a solo show 4 weeks ago, I think. Yeah. So no, it's been going really well.
And did you do a show in London before that, or so?
We did. Went to the Saatchi Gallery in London 2 years. Yeah, not last October, the October before, and did the Start Art Fair there, which was mind blowing. Really, really amazing experience to go there and do that.
Awesome. Sorry, Fawn, I'll let you catch up. I can't stop myself sometimes from talking too much.
It's okay. I was like getting lost, like zooming into Andrew's surreal painting you know, I get into like the surreal stuff and the juxtaposition of styles and things that do and don't belong together. But he's definitely playing in a pretty crazy realm with some of his work. I'm ashamed to say I wasn't following you before this morning, and I should have been all along. Your work is beautiful.
That's all good. I'm a hidden gem.
That's how I try to like keep my artwork and stuff as well. So
nice. Yeah, that painting there is actually this one.
I just love the creepiness of these, like the expressions in both of their eyes, and then the like.
Yeah, they this is actually a good friend of mine. She's an absolutely gorgeous human. And yeah, we did about a half an hour photo shoot, and we got all these amazing, just beautiful photos. And then right at the end, I was like, "Do you remember the that Batman thing you used to do when you were a kid and put your eyes up and be Batman?" She's like, "Yeah, I'm like, do that." So the last two sort of joke photos were the ones I used. I called her up about 2 days later and I said, "Guess which photos I'm using?" She goes, "The last ones." And I go, "Is that okay?" She said, "You do you, Andy." So yeah, away I went. It's become one of my favorite paintings. So she loves it.
I love it.
You know, this is you know, another one of my favorites. I think in the other videos, maybe we dork out on these a little bit. But some of these other ones are new though. So how many new paintings did you end up doing for this new show?
Oh, since the last time we spoke, there were probably about maybe 5 or 10. I had a really slow painting year last year, but that one in particular was one I did specifically for the show. That's another friend of mine, Sampy. I've known him since high school. Didn't have tattoos on his face at high school, but.
Yeah, tattoos on his face in high school, huh? Well, I guess
Yeah. Super interesting dude, but a lot of fun. A lot of fun painting that one. A lot of fun spending that time that close to somebody's face that you know so well. So yeah, it's kind of creepy painting them, but that's kind of the point of a lot of them is that's why they're oversized, is so that you feel like you're in an uncomfortable space with them, which is the point.
Now, are these are commissions, or
they're all mine. I think that one there was the poster for the Knicks show, so that was technically a commission.
Which one?
I can't remember what year that was. The one of Carly, the blue one there. It's got Toronto in the background.
Oh yeah, Knicks Toronto.
That was used as a poster in the T-shirt for that show one year.
Awesome.
Then I went over. I think that might have been 2018, maybe.
That was a Damien show, or?
Yeah.
That was rough. He owned tattoos.com.
Yeah. And, I spent quite a bit of time with Damien. It was sudden and tragic.
Yeah, horrific.
When we lost him.
Every day, wake up, try to live it for everyone. He liked me half the time. The other half, he didn't necessarily like me a lot, or at least if he liked me, he was yelling at me.
He yelled a lot. He was a big personality, but when he directed it in the right direction, a couple of occasions I went to a convention with him in China, and his personality over there was an amazing thing to behold.
Awesome. Well, yeah, it's really sad. But a couple of the other computer geeks, the guy from BME Zine, Shannon, he died a couple of years ago too.
Sorry about the noise. It seems to have got decidedly windy here.
Well, that's the beauty of both Zoom and Premiere, is that the audio gets cleaned up and we'll sound like we're in Joe Rogan's podcast room. Oh, no, I said that. I said that I use those words, so we're going to be tagged.
When I was setting up for today, I was I'm in a shared studio space this week, and one of the artists between last night and this morning scheduled an appointment, and they strolled in a half hour before we were supposed to like connect and everything. I was like, oh, there you go. So I found this cool spot to like broadcast from with like cool trees behind me, and I'm all set up and it's like sunny and nice, and all of a sudden the sky starts turning white. Now it's raining. So it's like every now and then you might hear rain hitting the top of my van, but fortunately I can just take my stuff outside and still broadcast. So that's pretty cool. I'll take that as a win.
Yeah, it's super cool. We live in the future. It's crazy.
I love painting fantail goldfish like this. For, I don't know, maybe 2 years, I took every opportunity I had to draw a fish and turned it into like a fancy, either like fantail goldfish or, oh man, a beta fish. I lost my train of thought. But I just love all the motion you can build and then the way you can play with light on these guys.
Yeah, it's getting that shininess and the transparency in their fins and stuff. It's just like every time I am painting a painting and I'm like, what does this painting need? It's 90% of the time it's a fish, some sort of goldfish. So yeah, that's, you see a lot of my paintings, there's a lot of bloody fish in there.
It's a wonderful way to like pick and choose and play with colors. I see that you're using a lot of like warms and cools juxtaposed next to one another, and you can use something like this, make any color you want, and allows you to really play with
it. Oh, yeah, and it's I use a limited palette too, so there's only three. I use the three primaries, and white are the only pigments I use in all of those paintings. So that's I take a bit of a lesson out of my tattooing practice, is where you sort of ramp up all of the contrast and the light sources to sort of make everything stand out a lot more. Sort of just trying to wring every last drop of chroma out of those three colors, you know. So it's a lot of fun to do.
You weren't kidding about the fish.
Yeah.
A wonderful little motif that repeats itself in all of your work. I love it.
Yeah. It represents the subject or whatever I'm painting, it represents their soul or their mind's eye. So like, so that's why they're always sort of a bit surreal and not quite solid, is because like you can cast your mind into the future or into the past or to another place and time or to your imagination. So it's like, it's free to go and do whatever it wants. So in the paintings, like there might be a lot of struggle or pain or there's something going on, but the fish is always free to just do what it wants in the picture. So it's usually, yeah, there'll be some real intense image and then this little fish will just scooching through, minding its own business.
I love it. I like doing like playing around with like post-apocalyptic images or like ruins of architectural structures and then putting something like a rubber ducky in there among the bricks.
Yeah,
so- or got a painting that I did along those lines that I put a big wheel in it, like a big wheel trike. So there's like rubble all over and then the big wheel chilling there. You know, make of it what you will, but it like I like those little elements of whimsy and serious painting.
Yeah. Got to be
a little cuttlefish people we're looking at.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I painted that at the Knicks show in Toronto over the 3 days. I'd had surgery before I left, or emergency surgery before I left on my big tattoo tour, so I couldn't tattoo. So I just painted the whole time I was over. So I ended up painting that at the tattoo show. It was a lot of fun. Got a lot of attention, which is nice, you know. We're all a bit extroverted that way. But it was turned into a really, I was really, really proud of that painting.
Yeah, looks great. And now I can find your tattoos. Can I find your tattoos through your website or?
No, they'll be on the Instagram.
It is okay. That's why I have it loaded up here in the background here.
Nice.
And it is officially LHPN.
Yep, LHP Andy.
Awesome. And let's see what we got. Look at that. Oh, man.
When you tattoo stuff like this, are you working with a really limited palette or are you laying out all the colors?
It depends. That particular, that big back piece before, that was really a restricted palette. But that was the first time a client had really let me completely free, I suppose, like totally free to do what I wanted on their back. And And those were just, I always liked using those colors together, and I wondered what would happen if I just did the whole thing using those. And yeah, it turned out really good. It was a lot of fun. That picture's all healed. But yeah, an awful lot of fun. Universal scale tardigrade eating a neutron star with a bunch of accretion disk made out of fish, you know, because that's why not.
So funny, I had a conversation with another friend of mine recently that wants a large tardigrade tattoo also, and I'm like, how can we make it a space tardigrade? And you kind of hit that nail on the head right there.
Yeah, just do big craters on it and stuff. Sort of, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Awful lot of fun.
What is this? Oh man.
That one, I think it's a movie called is it Armageddon or something like that, where there's a weird dome appears and there's all this like mushroom zombie creatures come out, and he's a big fan of that, so he really wanted some super creepy sort of The Thing style, you know, body horror stuff. So I was like, okay, I can run with that.
Awesome. And how far out are you? Like, do you always accept new clients?
All the time. Yeah, no, I'm open to new ideas, new people all the time. I try not to book myself too far in advance. So
awesome.
I think a lot of people are surprised at how quickly they can get in, but I pick and choose what I do a lot, which is a luxury, and I'm very grateful to be able to do that. But no, I really enjoy what I do. So if someone's got an idea, even if it's, as you can see, like anything from Alice in Wonderland with little cute mice and stuff to weird body horror, you know, like I haven't pigeonholed myself. So, because I know that sometimes people can see work and they're like, oh, he just does horror stuff. He's not going to want to do my sleeve of flowers. And I'm like, I'll do a sleeve of flowers. I'll fucking attack a sleeve of flowers. Don't you worry. You know. I love all that stuff. I guess that comes from the sort of the surreal type things that I paint. I'm interested in a lot of stuff, and I find the beauty and interest in so many different subject matters I'd do an anime sleeve. I love that shit. You know, it's good fun.
Yeah, this is how I lose at chess, flipping the board.
Table turning.
So it's like, I suck. It's never that you're awesome, good game. It's always that I suck, which is very bad sportsmanship.
Oh, that's wonderful. Those skills are out of control.
Oh, thanks. Was it the Promethean one?
Prometheus, yeah.
Prometheus one.
Not the easiest thing to like make tattoos look like they're glowing and exaggerate like the cools and the warms like this to actually make like there's like energy forms in the tattoo. I always love just pointing that out in other people's work, my own work, but I love that, like, you know, it adds this like element of like a dynamic energy in the tattoo. It's not just a stagnant picture, but like those like complementary glows just suck my eye right in.
Trying to make a light source in the tattoo is it's hard, but it's a lot of fun. And when you can hit it right, it really does make a huge difference.
Yeah, it's freaking awesome.
There's another couple of where's the other one? We're doing a lot of that sort of stuff lately.
I'm really just going by that, you know, obviously your paintings we've dorked out on, so let's show off a little more tattoos here. All those paintings look great too.
Look at how smooth those fields of red are and black. Nicely done.
Thanks. Yeah, I did that over 2 days, 3 days, 2 days at a tattoo convention. That was a lot of fun. Just a local little convention here in Christchurch.
Stage fright at all, or do you feel the tension at tattoo conventions? Or
no, at conventions, it's weird. Like I think, like anyone, you enjoy when people enjoy your work and you are like, I'll go there. Usually I'll do a tattoo at a massive discount or for nothing, but the price of entry for that is that you get zero say in what you get. So this guy, for instance, he didn't know what he was getting tattooed until the day of. Awesome. And I was like, how about like a cyberpunk like pig that's trying to eat this sort of otherworldly fish that's going in between dimensions. He's like, sounds good, bro. So away we went with that. But yeah, and yeah, usually I'm just, it's really funny because some of my ideas are so out the gate that it doesn't actually matter that it's well tattooed. Like, people don't get it. Sure. And I kind of see that as a win, you know, like I like that. I'm like, okay, you don't get it. That's cool. It's really cool. It means I'm not doing the mainstream stuff, I guess, that's just there to impress as many people as possible.
One of the things that I like about your work, and it's one of the things that I chase in my own work, is like, I like doing, especially with large, like, colorful work like this, I love doing tattoos that provoke more questions than give answers. Like, why would, and what does it mean? And it's cool, but, and then it opens up that conversation. Like, you can either look at it and take it for what it is, or it opens up the conversation for my client and whoever is viewing it. So, like, have that, like, you know, that delve down the rabbit hole to talk about whatever the tattoo is about, or, like, you know, Alice in Wonderland, for instance. I've done a lot of Alice in Wonderland stuff, but it seems like everybody that gets an Alice in Wonderland tattoo, they identify with a different part of the story, or they identify with a different side character. So I really like images that are so bold that the viewer can't help but keep listening and or keep looking. And the longer they look, the more questions they have, like I said. And it's like telling a story, but it's, instead of giving all the details, you're giving just enough to make their brain work and ask for more.
That's a perfect way to describe it. There's a pleasure and a really good point to just doing a good render of somebody else's work. There's a place for that, and I've done it in the past, and I still do it now, and I really, really enjoy it. But I think the most sort of fun and feeling of satisfaction I get is from doing exactly what you're saying, is when people are looking at your work and it's just, there's something, you hit that mark where there's something about it and they just can't turn away, but they don't understand, and that's a great balance. That's a really good balance.
Like, the tattoo inspires wonder to the viewer. That's a pretty cool, like, mission accomplished for me, and it really seems like a strong motivation in your work.
It's good fun. It's a lot of good fun. Yeah, that awesome. One I was at Pennywise. Yeah, that's a cover up. A lot of my work is cover ups. I know a lot of people that do realism and stuff like I do don't do many cover ups, but I love it. I love being able to do cover ups over stuff that people have been turned away from artists. It's it gives me a little like nah 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 nah.
Yeah. I'm like telling those, like, there's a reason that everybody else can be down. We're supposed to fall into my lap. And it seems like if somebody's wanting to achieve a full color piece like this, you know, I think it takes the kind of artist that can, like, look at a arm or a body part or whatever, and you can see the tattoo that's there, but you can, like, squint and see, like, okay, that tattoo could be this, this, and this, and it could be tucked into this texture or this shape, and to, like, take the things that already exist and then morph them into something else. Like, not necessarily blasting them over, but, like, camouflaging them right in. You never even knew it was a cover-up to begin with.
Yeah, 100%.
I feel like everybody's brain doesn't work like that, but, like, clearly yours does. You can't tell whether a tattoo is a cover-up or it's not, and I think that's the most successful sign of a good, successful cover-up. You can't even tell.
Yeah, I agree 100%. That's a thing that I sort of try to hammer into my clients, is that the point of this tattoo isn't to completely cover it. The point of it is so that when someone who doesn't know it's a cover-up looks at it, doesn't know. And then you tell them, and then they freak out. You know, that's the order that you want that to, conversation to go in. Like, wow, that's a cool tattoo. It's like, yeah, it's a cover up. And they go, what? Get a close
sometimes look. And that, like, the cover up layer underneath, when you do get little bits and pieces that shine through, you can use those as, like, texture, and you can use them to, like, almost add another element to the finished tattoo. But the viewer wouldn't even know that that wasn't, you know, that that wasn't a clean slate to start with.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. Oh, my eye, Gabe. Nice.
Yeah, whatever.
That one's a cover-up.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that one the guy's got... Yeah, the guy's got a lot of stuff like that underneath it on the sleeve. And we've done a lot of work on him. We haven't actually finished it. I think we're probably 3 sessions away from finishing it, unfortunately. It's sort of... I think his expectations of how long it was going to take were an awful lot less than mine. And, you know, when you're looking at cover-ups and you're looking at something with that much detail, it just takes time. You've just got to put in the hours and do the work. And, yeah, it's certainly looking awesome. It'd be cool to finish it. Oh, this guy, eh? Flash dude with all his bloody jewelry.
Awesome. Sweet. Well, we do have to get onto the. We were like, we're going to be regimented about our segments. We're going to do our 3 20-minute segments per show, and already it's you know, way over. But it's hard not to keep looking. But we have to. Let's see here. Let me stop screen sharing here. Yeah, we are going to have to catch on to the next segment or move on to the next segments.
No worries.
But hopefully there's a lot of these live streams and other shows and stuff. So hopefully we could see you again on the Reinventing Network.
Awesome. I look forward to it.
Do you want to let people know how to find you? You know, I know that you're, you know, traveling around a little bit, but, you know, yeah. Ultimately one just goes to the website or how do they let people know how to...
Instagram and Facebook, unfortunately, are the two best ways to get a hold of me. I check those far too many times during the day. So it's LHP Andy for Instagram, and it's Left Hand Path Tattoos for Facebook. Yeah. And what am I doing? Oh, I'm coming to the Melbourne Rites of Passage in about 3 weeks. And then the next tattoo show I'm coming to is yours, I think, October.
Awesome. October 24th to the 27th.
Yeah. That's right. I'll be teaching you how to do this stuff.
Awesome. Ooh. Unbelievable. Well, we'll have, like I said, we'll have to have you on so that we can talk at length because, yeah, you know,
definitely.
I'm sure you could talk for a long time about it. Awesome. So let's move on. I'm going to talk a little bit. I'm going to close the cameras. I don't have a pre-recorded segment, but I'm going to chat a little bit about this conference that we're doing at Red Tree, and then I'll bring everybody back on, and we have Bob Tyrell's portfolio, so we're going to check out some of his new work. And okay, here we go. Let me try to do this on the fly. Okay, so Reinventing the Tattoo Live is coming to Red Tree Tattoo on June 23rd to the 25th, 2024, although we do the event fairly regularly, so I don't know when you're watching this. You can always go to reinventingthetattoo.com/live, and it'll bring you to this page. Now, this year's a little different. We've been partnering with Reinventing the Tattoo is partnering with Rember and a couple of the artists from Dark Age Tattoo to present the Tattoopreneur Conference. So there's going to be, each morning of the 3 days, we'll go over business-related events, and then we'll shift over to some art, and then we'll do art nights and whatnot. There's a video here that you could check out where we talk about it a little bit, and the full schedule. And again, this is reinventingthetattoo.com/live. And yeah, it's a 3-day conference, so there is a ticket. It is a ticketed fee, but well worth it. So we've got Rember is doing the first business segment, the psychology behind tattoo studio management. He has 2 studios. Each of them have, I believe, over 15 to 20 tattooers, and they're all excellent with a support crew of apprentices and managers. I'll talk about Dependable Dozen, how to get more tattoo clients. Jason Leeser is going to be talking introduction to Procreate, Haley Adams is coming out from San Francisco to talk about elements in acrylic. This is all happening at Red Tree. And so the first night will be art night for the attendees of the conference. Then Monday, we start off with figure drawing for tattooers with James Wisdom in person. Moving along to a think tank with Jake Meeks. He does these quarterly masterminds with all sorts of business leaders. So he's going to bring some of that energy to tattoo artists and studio owners. There's a leveraging studio finances with Rember Haley and Jake Meeks. So that's about how to invest your earnings. Talk about purchasing buildings, other real estate, other types of investments and whatnot. Then Midjourney with Jess. Talking about how to use the, you know, the computers to create all sorts of types of awesome reference, and then followed by Advanced Procreate for tattooers with Rowan. So you could take a lot of those images and then work them over in Procreate. The Monday evening events are going to be Mindset Mondays with a Fireside Tattoo Club with Jake Meeks, and then followed up with Reinventing the Tattoo Life exercise at 9 o'clock. I'm going to finish off the Tuesday schedule here. We start with a business roundtable talking about recruiting for tattoo shop owners as well as artists who are looking for guest spots. And then we're going to focus on tattooing for the rest of the day, or at least the tattooers and apprentices. We'll have a black and gray tattooing with Jose from Dark Age. And then the Q&A. So a lot of the people that are tattooing will be tattooing that afternoon doing Q&A. Anybody that's not a tattooer will do a small business breakout. We could do, like I said, a little focus group on the people that don't tattoo. And then that night is going to be the famous Red Tree Art Night. So that'll be open to all artists in the area. So if you're in the area of Columbus, that's that'll be open for everybody. That's Tuesday, June 25th. So, and then there's live tattooing. You know, check it out. ReinventingTheTattoo.com/live. And that is the plug for the event sponsor. Thank you for watching that. Stop screen sharing. I'm going to start you guys up. Boom, boom. Okay, and now I'm going to screen share Bob Tyrell's awesome portfolio, presuming that it fired back up when I restarted my computer. Oh, and it did. Yeah. Okay, let's get your Bob Tyrell stories together. He is one of the nicest, most talented tattooers. And I remember being so nervous the first time I met him. I waited in line at the Detroit Tattoo Convention for like, you know, half hour, 45 minutes. And then when he just took the time to talk to everybody. He was amazing. But let's see here. Is this, let me click the, I didn't go to the right Red Tree. I have all this stuff fired up here, right? So now we've got the looking for a black and gray tattoo. You should head to Bob Tyrell. What happened there? It just disappeared. Did that disappear for you?
Yeah, I can't see anything.
Give me one more second. This is why we're editing. It's actually not why we're editing. Okay, now we're back. So here we go. Some of Bob's black and gray tattoos. Have you ever had the pleasure of seeing him work, Andrew, or catch up with him?
Yeah, I have. At the Knicks convention a couple of times. Trying to remember where else I saw him.
That's right.
Maybe I saw him years before that. But that's
and he's done the chat
at a time when I'm cruising past at the shows.
Absolutely. Here we go. So this is the black and gray creepy, huh? That's I've had the pleasure, the honor of helping him produce a couple of his seminars and workshops, and he's come out to Black and Gray Week down in Florida, and you know, up here in New England.
Nice, yeah. He sort of hit the tattoo scene like a bloody hurricane back in the day, eh?
Absolutely.
I remember sort of seeing a few write-ups on him quite early on, and his work was just so far beyond the norm at the time. It just, you couldn't help but sort of try to seek out more of it, you know.
Absolutely. He did my my puppy dog on my ribs. I'll probably have to have him do the other one too. My other guy's color, so I was thinking about having him done a color, but look at this.
Talked to Bob about working on me the last time he was at Red Tree, and I still haven't like actually scheduled and made the trip up to Detroit. It's only like 2.5 hours away.
You know, he's not that far. I'd like to look at this, more dogs. And of course, cannabis can't
definitely on my bucket list by Bob. Going to art school in Detroit and growing up in Michigan, it's definitely like he's one of those names that like has followed since I was in.
It's funny. I'm sure recently at the Detroit show, he posted up a picture, or maybe Marshall posted it up of all the old Detroit black and gray guys, and it's pretty nuts. I love it when people keep progressing, though, right? Like, you know, it takes more effort and energy to kind of make less ground, but he still puts the time, you know, he still puts the hours in. And I definitely, you know, many times, or not maybe not many times, but, you know, in the course of running conventions and tattoo shops and events and whatnot, you know, there'll be artists that are, you know, I remember one, you know, people getting drunk and like, what, you know, why me? You know, I'm no Bob Tyrell. You know, I'm no Jeff Gogway. You know, why me? Why would you bring me? You know, I'm like, I don't know, man. But, you know, the main difference is they're not, you know, freaking out right now. They show up and do their tattoos and they're awesome and they focus and they get it done and they're not about, you know, drama. And I don't know. Like I said, it's
you find out about a lot of those people that are right at the top of their game. You meet them or you see them in a convention, and they are focused on what they're doing and quiet and nice. You know, it's very rare that you get somebody with that level of professionalism and skill that is also into the other aspects, the negative aspects of tattooing. You know.
You know, it's it's so easy to, to kind of let everything, you know, to let it get to our heads, right? I mean, do you have any stories about being in, you know, and getting a little ahead of yourself and having to, you know?
Yeah, I have an unhealthy level of imposter syndrome. So I'm at the other end of the spectrum where people tell me what I do is good, or I'll get an award or whatever. And then I'll rationalize that in my head as a fluke or a mistake, or the people don't know what they're looking at, or they're pitying me. And unfortunately, you know, that's really bad. But yeah, I think I had a mentor that was very much against standing out from the crowd to an unhealthy level. But that really helped temper my opinion of myself. really well in the beginning. I've seen a lot of people go the opposite way, where their opinions of themselves far outweigh their skills.
Sure. It's interesting. Like, and whenever anybody says, you know, artists are, or tattooists are, you know, it's like, wait, there's a lot of different types of artists and a lot of different types of tattooers, and there's like different motivations and cultures and upbringings. Like, you know, there's so many different ways to go about it. One of the beautiful things about it is that, you know, it crosses all the different cultures and all of the tax brackets and political persuasions. And, you know, the barrier to entry is, you know, time. If you're willing to dedicate the time, you know. So I guess that's, you know, it's another thing that Bob does. You know, he's never been known for racing through stuff.
No, and he's as you said before, like he's so approachable as a human, you know, like it's any intimidation that surrounds him is entirely made in your own head, you know. He's on the couple of occasions that I've spoken to him, he's just been so nice and personable. It's really refreshing.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, the little puppy doggies. Okay. A couple more dogs, and then we'll move on to our next segment. But, yeah, so Bob is, you know, accepting new clients. And if you check out, you know, bobtyrell.com, and you have a great idea, something, you know, if you have any dog portraits, I'm sure you'll scoot right to the top of the wait list, right? But in any event, yeah, I saw that you had some openings for next month, so I figured we should plug his portfolio while I sent it over here. Oh, turtles here.
There's something about it that you can just tell it's his. You know, it's not just another, it's not another black and gray artist. You just look at it and you go, I'm pretty sure that's Bob's work, and I don't know why.
There's just a smoothness to it. Like, his stuff is so velvety, you know. He doesn't necessarily work, but at the same time, not a single movement is rushed. But every single movement, like, adds another layer of softness to it.
Okay, we'll end here on a skull. And just a little bit of white to...
I think awesome. That's what that makes it very, like, distinctively Bob's work, because he lets so much of the skin breathe. There are so many black and gray artists now that just feather with just grays on top of grays on top of grays, and you lose that whole, like, light end of the spectrum, because it's almost like some tattooers are trying to bury the skin and get rid of all the skin shows all together. But Bob's work, the skin is equally as important as the gray and the black. And then, you know, he picks and chooses where he puts just those, like, little kisses of white and with those little dots and dashes of white. And because it's used so minimally, it's so strong and so effective. Pretty, I think that's what makes Bob work stand out, is that it's meticulous, but he still lets the skin be skin. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Sweet. Okay. So should we test our technical luck and see if we can get some Chicago cards? So you were at the Chicago convention recently.
My laptop just died. I don't know how to get footage through an iPhone.
Well, why don't we do a good look, a closing with Andrew then, and we can record our future segments. We have plenty of shows coming up in the future.
Yep, got plenty of good Chicago footage. If you guys can tune in next week, we'll have Chicago for you.
Awesome. So sweet. Andrew, thanks again for joining us from New Zealand. And one last time, let us know, let people know how to find you.
So LHP Andy at Instagram, and Left Hand Path Tattoos at Facebook. Yeah, awesome. The best ways to get a hold of me.
Perfect. And sweet. Well, we'll catch up again in the near future.
Okay. Well, you know what? Thanks That's for funny. Having me.
This isn't even live, so I think I could just click. Well, here. Let me click the buttons then, and I'll download all the stuffs, and we'll catch up in the near future. That was awesome.
Awesome. Sweet. Nice to meet you.
Awesome. Okay. Cheers.